one of my now increasing number of jobs in the Archdiocese, in addition to being pastor of three parishes and defender of the bond at the marriage tribunal, is I am also the scout chaplain for the Archdiocese. So I'm in charge of all the scouts. I've been a Boy Scout myself for 30 years now this fall. I'm an Eagle Scout, and right before I came here, actually, I spent 10 days down at the H. Robartle Scout Reservation at our summer camp for our Boy Scout Council here in the Kansas City area. So I love scouting, and I think you'll discover from time to time, I often work scouting lessons into some homilies, because I think oftentimes the things that I've learned as a scout growing up often fit well with some of the things that Jesus is trying to teach. In our gospel today, Jesus is trying to teach Martha to figure out what is really important, what is most important. Now, this is something that Boy Scouts have to do all the time. In fact, most people would be aware of the famous Boy Scout motto created by Baden Powell over 100 years ago. Boy Scouts are told to be prepared. It's right at the bottom of the Eagle Scout badge to remind you of the motto, be prepared. A question people often ask, though, that is, well, prepared for what? When Baden Powell created that motto, what was he trying to tell the boys to be prepared for? Prepared for life, prepared for camping, prepared for a meeting? What was it? Well, Baden Powell said, he deliberately left it vague to say, just be prepared. And it doesn't really say prepared for what. Now, one of the ways that we, especially in Boy Scouts, help people practice being prepared is we go camping. Now, this is an interesting kind of thing to watch new Boy Scouts go camping for the first time. Because when they hear be prepared, they think, well, all right, I'm going out for an entire night by myself in the woods. So I better bring a huge suitcase, and I'll pack four changes of clothes just in case it gets hot, or it might get cold, so I need other clothes, but it might rain, so I need extra clothes there. And what if some get wet and I have to change, so I'll bring more? And like, oh, I'm going to have to eat. And what if they don't provide enough food for me? So I'll take a whole box of Oreos, and I might get thirsty, so I'll take a case of Coke with me too, just in case, for my overnight camp out. And, you know, it's going to get dark, so I probably need a flashlight. And I want a powerful one, so I'll bring a big flashlight with at least like four D-cell batteries. And that flashlight might go out, so I'll bring a second flashlight, just in case. And pretty soon, when it's time to go camping, the new scouts show up at the first camp out with all kinds of stuff they don't need. They have to literally drive the car to their tent. And by the way, their tent probably sleeps like 18 people because they want to make sure they have room. And these are just the new scouts. The new leaders are sometimes just as bad because they come and they've got all that stuff too, but like, well, I don't want to be uncomfortable. So they bring like an entire bed with them on the camp out so that they won't be uncomfortable. They bring the little portable TV, the generator to charge all their electronics. New leaders are almost just as bad as the new Boy Scouts. All this might look like, well, they're being prepared. You know, they've got a bunch of stuff, and if anything happens, they are ready. They've got everything you could possibly need for that one treacherous night of camping in the woods all by yourself, probably about 10 minutes from home. It's quite an ordeal. But it's interesting because you take those new tenderfoot scouts, and all of a sudden they get used to it, and they go camping, and they get up to around, say, 10 to 15 days and nights of camping. They start to become experienced. They advance in rank a little bit. All of a sudden, they start to realize, all right, I don't need a whole case of Coke. Maybe a canteen to fill with water would be better. So they leave that. They start to leave other stuff behind. Pretty soon, they start to get pretty good about what to bring. The ultimate kind of test of Boy Scout camping is to go backpacking. Because then you can't drive your car with your whole trailer up to your campsite. You got to carry everything on your back. And all of a sudden, you have to make really important choices like, is it worth it for me to bring that with me that I'm going to have to carry it this whole way? Now, be prepared starts to mean, well, don't just bring everything. You got to be prepared, but within reason. The ultimate test of this backpacking experience for the Boy Scouts is to go to New Mexico, to where the Great Plains meet the Rocky Mountains at a beautiful place called Philmont Scout Ranch. If you know the Phillips 66 gas stations, Wade Phillips was a great philanthropist that gave Philmont Scout Ranch to the Boy Scouts, also founded Phillips Petroleum. Philmont is named after him, but it is an amazing backcountry wilderness in the Rocky Mountains of New Mexico, where you go for 12 days on an adventure. And you have to carry on your back everything you need. Now, Boy Scouts really have to get good. It's interesting because when you get to Philmont, the first thing that happens is you've got your backpack and you get to base camp, and the ranger, the staff person who's going to go with you for a little bit, he says, all right, take out your backpack, dump it all out on the ground. Everybody just dump out all your stuff. And he goes through it and he says, all right, that flashlight, you don't need that. Not everybody needs a flashlight. If you're going to take a flashlight, you don't need four D-cells. Take like a little teeny tiny pen light with a AAA battery and an LED light. That's what you need. Just got rid of 2 pounds right there. What are you doing taking all that? A whole toothbrush? You don't need a whole toothbrush. Break it in half. Why do you have a fork, a spoon, and a knife? You don't need that. And made of metal? What are you thinking? Go to the trading post, get yourself a plastic spork. It's a fork and it's a spoon. Save yourself right there, and it's not metal. And what are you doing with a metal cup? You don't need a metal cup. Get a piece of paper that folds into a cup. It could be a plate. It could be your hat. It might be a Frisbee. Now you're starting to get it. And he goes through all that stuff to find how can you save more weight. And I can tell you, having done this 12-day experience twice in my life, the first time I thought I was pretty good. I got my pack down under about 50 pounds or so, and that was about, you know, what the target was. But I realized the next time I went, what if I could make it even lighter? What, and I don't need a whole air mattress. What if I got a three-quarter air mattress and I had them slot the foam so it's only like even just a quarter of the weight of the other one? And I started weighing everything on like even a little postal scale. Like, okay, how much does that battery weigh? Can I do less? Do I really need that? It's a very kind of interesting experience, but it made a huge difference the second time I went because my pack only weighed more like 25 to 30 pounds. And it was amazing how much difference even that made. And I felt pretty good about myself because I became smart. I knew how to pack well for an outing, and I was kind of proud of myself even that I've got everything I need, and it's only weighing 25 pounds. And I would look at those new backpacking scouts, and I'm like, look at them carrying all that stuff. Ha, I figured this out. It's a kind of accomplishment to learn how to be prepared, but yet not get so weighed down with stuff. As I read the gospel, I can't help but think of those scouting experiences and look at Jesus' words to Martha, reminding her that, you know, she is anxious and worried about many things. I think of those new scouts and leaders that go on a camp out with many, many things. They would even be able to go backpacking and carry many things on their back. And yet, after a while, you start to realize just how weighed down and how encumbered you are by all that stuff you're trying to cram in. Notice, though, it's not bad stuff. None of the other things that the scouts bring on the camp out are bad. You know, Oreos, not bad. Do you really want to carry 2 packs of Oreos around on your back, though? Well, Jesus is trying to tell Martha that what she's doing is not bad. She's trying to help serve Jesus. This is in our first reading. Abraham is the example. He's praised for having welcomed the messengers of God. Goes out of his way to get everything ready for a meal. Martha, it seems, is doing the same thing. So we can't say that Jesus is criticizing Martha for trying to do something good. She's doing something good. She's trying to serve. What Jesus wants Martha to do, though, is to start to ask the question, as good as all this stuff is that you're doing, these many things, is there something even more important? Something that you might do that would trump even all these many things? He describes it as saying, you are worried about many things, but there is need of only one thing. And of course, the one thing in the scripture is Jesus. As important as it would be to welcome a guest, to make a meal, to make them feel hospitable. And I can say, having been in the parish only now for a week and a half, how wonderful it is that people here are so welcoming, want to do anything they can to help the priest and help me to get moved in. And it's wonderful. Martha's like that. She's trying to do good things. But Jesus is saying, this isn't just any guest that you're welcoming. It's not just any opportunity you've got here. God has come to your house. So settle down and think about that for a second. You have a chance to ask God anything you want, to sit and ask him questions, to have him answer the most important things on your heart, to listen to him tell you about the meaning of life and how to be happy and find joy. So let's forget about dinner for a little bit. We don't need to worry about that right now. Rather, there is need of this one thing. I was thinking about this when I was thinking of my backpacking experience there. This boiling down the many into one. That's essentially what we do when we go backpacking. We take all the many things and say, what's really important? I remember that on my second trek, about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through, feeling proud of myself with my light backpack, I was sitting on a cabin in the backcountry where the staff live all summer. They've got their little kerosene lamps and a wood stove and candles for light, and they go get water from the well or the creek that runs by, and they have no electricity. All their heat or anything would come from fire. I remember sitting with them on their porch and talking with them about their summer. These are college kids who spend their whole summer with no electricity, no phone, no computers, living in a cabin in the woods. I remember as we talked, it started to rain. We're sitting on the front porch, and there's a tin roof, and the water kind of hits the roof and makes this beautiful sound in the middle of the forest, and then one of the staff members gets out his banjo, and another grabs a harmonica, and we're just kind of sitting there singing. And I remember thinking at that moment, I don't have really anything with me. I've got my clothes on my back and one change and my tent that I'm going to sleep in. And I think, you know what, though? I am happy. I am more content and at peace right now sitting on this porch in the rain than I could ever remember. And it hit me that, you know, it just doesn't take a whole lot of stuff to be happy. That's what Jesus is trying to tell Martha. It's like, Martha, you're trying to find happiness in so many things. You are so anxious and busy and worried when it really doesn't take that much. In fact, the one thing you really need is right there and you're missing it. I wondered then as I get back to the city and I get busy and anxious about many things, can we keep the main thing the main thing? Little exercise. If someone were to look at your life and everything that you do, would they be able to discern that your life is really about one thing? Well, maybe they could, and maybe they'd look at your life and say, wow, it looks like your life is about sports. You're doing sports all over the place, and that seems to be what's most important. Or as someone reminded me at the end of last Mass, Father, if you looked at my calendar, my life's about doctor's visits. That's all I do. I go to doctor's visits these days. Okay. Well, maybe one thing could be discerned from your life. But would it be the right thing? Ideally, we would want someone to be able to look at our life and say, yeah, with all the things you're doing, they're good, but it's obvious to me in your life it's really about one thing more than anything. The big question is then, would that be God? Could someone look at your life and say, with everything you're doing, it all points back to the fact that they're a Christian? That everything they're doing is really about salvation and a relationship with Jesus? I don't know. If someone looked at your calendar, would they be able to determine that? It's a good kind of question for us. It's the kind of question that Jesus poses to Martha today. We're anxious a lot, I think busy, worried, so much stuff going on. We try to carry a lot of stuff on our back through life. Jesus tries to get us today, especially as we come to Mass, to refocus a little bit, to say, in the end, there's really only one thing that matters, and that's Jesus. We pray that we might be able to examine our lives, to hear the voice of Jesus, to maybe reorient a little bit, take some stuff out of our backpack that we don't really need. We don't have to try to do everything. It's really important to try to do the one thing well. If we do that, everything else will fall into place. So, maybe time for a little shakedown, as we call it in Boy Scouts. Take out that backpack of your life. Look at your calendar. Look at what you're doing. Does it really all point back to Jesus? Is what I'm doing helping me get to heaven? Or is it actually just keeping me busy so I missed Jesus? It's a tough question, but that's what Jesus poses to us in the gospel today. I pray that we might have the grace to reflect well, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and then, like Mary, to choose the better part. For we know that in the end, that will not be taken away from us.